Bonjour tout le monde. Moi content en pire. Moi qu'à parler avec vous pour iniquer Haïti Jodia. I just said, good morning everyone. I'm so glad that I got to come and speak to you about United Hearts Haiti today. That took some practice. I want to tell you about United Hearts Haiti. For those of you who do not know what United Hearts Haiti is, we minister to, by sharing the love of Jesus, by helping the people of Haiti in their need. We minister to Haitian orphanages that are Haitian run, and we work with Haitian families that we're trying to help them not to give up their children. So our goal in that is that we can improve their lives, improve their lifestyle so that they, with child care, with food, with medical supplies, with education, so that they can improve their country in the future. That's our goal. I would like to introduce you to Pastor Joel Mousseau. Pastor Joel is United Hearts Haiti in Haiti. He does all the running. He does all the work. He's the one that picks up the food boxes and delivers them to the orphanages. He picks up the funds that I send him and disperses it to the families and to the orphanages. He is the one that's there when they need something, they call him. Please, can you help us? He contacts me and tells me what the need is. A great servant's heart. This man is an awesome man. He has a love for Jesus, and it shows in his works. He also has a great memory for scripture verses. Amazing. He also is my truck driver and my translator when I am there. We have a little old truck. Okay, let me introduce you to our next one of our orphanages. This is the Grace of God Children's Home, excuse me, up in Piat. This orphanage has 27 children, and they range from 3 years old to 18. Little Bethesda down here is three. And their 18-year-old is leaning up against the post there, Ecclesius. They are up in the mountains. Got to go way up in the mountains. Their pastor and Madame Paul, this is a picture of them with their little daughter, Erlan, live at the orphanage. They run the orphanage. They live there. Can you imagine living with 27 orphans in your home? It's quite a task. The place is beautiful, though. They have lush green gardens that are growing up to the mountain. Up the mountain is dry, barren, dead-looking. But you get to the orphanage, and inside it's lush and green because north of them is the actual village of Piat, and there's an artesian well. And that water runs down, and so we capture it in pipes and bring it to the orphanage so they get nice, fresh, green gardens growing. The children are very mild-mannered. But they're isolated up there. They're very sweet, innocent children because there is no one else up in that area. So they're very isolated, wonderful children. This is the other orphanage. That is Jesus of Nazareth Orphanage. The Jesus of Nazareth Orphanage is in Pier Payan, which is in a valley. You have to ford a river and through banana plantations to get to it. There are 21 children in this orphanage. They're not all there. Some are actually there that don't belong there. They are ages ranging from 5 to 18 also. These kids are a little more streetwise. These kids are integrated into the community. The orphanage has no barrier walls or anything. They are literally right in the middle of the village. The pastor has a church on their property, so people come to church there too. So they are very integrated into the community. In fact, there's a few of these children that don't even belong there that are from the community. This is Pastor and Madame Frito. They run the orphanage. They are the founders of it. They also live in the orphanage with the children. They care for them very well. They have a beautiful ministry. I'm very blessed to have the ability to work with these people. And this is beach day. I try to take the children from the orphanages to the beach because one lives way up in the mountains, the other one lives way in the valley. They don't get to the ocean. So we take them by the truck, haul them to the beach for the day. This is Pier Payan's day to do it. And that truck up there has 27 people in it. Don't ask me how they did it. I have no idea. But they all arrived on safe and sound. The kids, they swim, they play, they swim, they play, eat some goodies, swim for 3 hours or more, playing, having fun, and shoop, home they go. They have a great time doing this. We try to do this whenever I'm there for a length of time. Now I want to share with you a little video of the children. They sang this little song for us while we were there. Let's see if it'll work. They were singing, of course, joy, joy, joy down in my heart. That is one of the songs that they love to sing for us. I want to show you, too, is the next slide is Pastor Frito is holding up Bibles and pocket testaments. I was able to purchase Bibles thanks to some donations, and these are New Testament with the Psalms Bibles in Creole. These are pocket testaments, which means they have the gospel message and a salvation plan and the book of John in them. I was also able to receive some of these. And then I have a child's version. This one is only the gospel message. But I want to share these with you. I'm going to pass them around, let you take a look at them, so you can take a look at the Creole language and see what it's all about. Take a look at it. Just pass it back there. I'll pass this way, and there's gospels here. And I also sent the English version along, so you can take a look at what's going on here. So you can look at them and pass them on. I gave 20 Bibles to Pastor Frito because he has a church. I gave 20 to Pastor Joel, as well as 20 pocket testaments. And they were thrilled to have them so they can share them. And in the next slide, I also was able to share with a young lady named Chantel. She's one of my translators. She told me that her church was having a crusade. I happen to have 5 Bibles left, and I had 20 of the Gospels left, so I gave them to her. And she took them with her to the crusade. So the word of God was spread out through Haiti this time I was there. I also want to show you, in the upper picture, Madame Joelle is passing out her Bibles to the congregants in her church, and there are about 30 or 40 of them. Yes, it's a trick-or-treat bag from Vaughn's. It's all I had, so she's passing it out with a trick-or-treat bag. Hey, what better treat, right? And the bottom picture, it just blessed my heart. This woman, she's in her 80s. I sit in the back of the church because that's where the air breeze is, and they set me back there and said, you get the air. Well, she sits on the other side of the door, so she gets a breeze too. And Madame Joelle passed out the Bibles, and I hear this, and I look over, and she's giggling. She's browsing through the Bible and giggling. She was so happy to have a Bible, and she was ecstatic. She can't read, but it doesn't matter. She's got the Word of God in her hands, and she was so happy to have that. I'm sure she'll get someone to read it to her, and maybe that person will come to Jesus by reading the Bible. I don't know, but it was just a blessing I wanted to share with you. Now I want to share you my church in Haiti. You're my church family here, but when I'm in Haiti, this is my church family. L'Église Baptiste Bethel is the name of the church. It's Pastor Joel's church. And I get to go see the people there every time I'm there. There's 30 to 40 congregants in the church. And I'm going to show you, this is what I see when I'm at their church. This is Pastor Joel preaching. And usually they have a visitor speak, you know, most of the Sundays they will have a different pastor speak each Sunday. Well, when I was there this time, he spoke for all 3 Sundays I was there because one of the times the pastor just didn't show up. So you're on, Pastor Joel. He's always good at that, though. And this is something precious to me. This is the oldest congregant. He's in late 80s, early 90s. And the young, one of the youngest congregants. He's 2.5 years old. And I want to share with you a little piece of what I experience when I'm in Haiti. And it's a lot louder than that there when you're there in it. But it's such a blessing because that man is so sweet and his heart is so just so joyous for Christ. And that little one is just too precious. Now I want to share about the family sponsorships. Our family sponsorships came out of a need to try and help the parents keep their children and not abandon them to an orphanage. This is past Monsieur Luis. He is blind. He's been blind since his 20s. He started going blind at 8 years old. He learned the skill of masonry before he went completely blind. It was due to glaucoma and high blood pressure, and that is why he lost his sight. Had he had the medical care he needed, he would not have lost his sight, but he did. So I want to show you, this man is amazing. We sponsor his family. He has those three children. The next slide. When I came upon him, they were first living in a palm frond hut under a tree. Next time I see him, that house up in your upper left is what he had built. Blind. He built that. And I was amazed. And then I came back, and the bottom picture, he put a roof over it. Now, he has one back room where they all have been sleeping. The next time I come, he's closed in, framed out the door and the windows, and he's closed it in, so now they have two rooms to sleep in. So it's not just a one-room house anymore, it's two rooms. All of this, and he's blind. What does he do? How is he getting the money to do this? Do you see the rebar, those posts that Pastor Joel has got there? Those are rebar posts that go into a foundation when they build houses in Haiti. They put them in the four corners, and sometimes if it's a long enough house, they'll put them elsewhere. That sets the foundation. They use them for corner posts, so to speak. He makes those blind. He wires them together. And he was using a broken pliers to do it. I got him a good tool, but still, he does this. And he earns money. I actually hired him to do those four posts for me for another person that was doing a foundation. But this is this man's livelihood. So I want to share also some other families with you. This is Yaya. She's our oldest family sponsorship right here. She's 92. And this is her sister, which is late 80s, 89, something like that. Her sister takes care of her. And so that's one of the families we have. Our family up above, this is David's family. They live way up in the mountains. They live in a mud hut. David was in the orphanage, but he's now home with his family, and so they're caring for him. And then the bottom photo is Monsieur Ruben Joseph. He is he was a teacher at one of the orphanages, but he had degenerative back problems, so he can no longer work. Rosanit, the young lady in between him and his mother, she is a nurse, and so she cares for Monsieur Joseph, and she also works to earn funds for the household. So we're trying to help that family, keep them going. The next photo, I want to introduce you to our youngest sponsor family, and that is baby Shanika. Shanika, we came across her when she was 5 months old. Her mother died in a car accident when Shanika was 3 months old. And so the two cousins of the mama were taking care of her. She's a year old now, and she's doing well. She's obviously very healthy. Up above is our very first sponsorship. That is Madame Antoine and her son, Bethelmy. Pastor Joel is delivering food to her there. Once in a while, we try to give food to the sponsor families when we can. And so she's receiving some food there. And the bottom picture is our most recent sponsored family, and that is Mario. Mario was in the orphanage, but he is out of the orphanage. He's 18, but he doesn't have any skills yet. So we're trying to help him get a skill so he can earn a living on his own someday. He's living with Grandma and Grandpa and his little 12-year-old brother, Anderson, way, way up in the mountains. It's a drive to Pierpont Orphanage, motorcycle 20 minutes, and then walking, hiking up the mountain, down the valley, around the corner, up the mountain to his village. And it's all mud huts up there, too. So these are our families. Now I want to introduce you to the Wilderness Prayer Church. The Wilderness Prayer Church is way up on the mountain, as you can see on the picture. It has no roof right now. The wind blew it off. And so they need a new roof. It's about $5,000 U.S., so we're hoping and praying for that. But these faithful intercessors have been going up there for over 20 years to pray up there. I came across them. They pray every Wednesday from 6 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I join them from noon to 9 to 12 on Wednesdays when I'm there. And it's a blessed, blessed time. I want to show you also the way back down. This bottom picture is on the way back down. And we go through, you can see the little green trail. We go down through that way, and we go through an area called Fond Grand Matin. And the next picture, I want to introduce you to Marie Nicole Paul and her family. They are now a sponsored family. But when I first came across her, I was walking down from the prayer mountain, and she stopped us and said, "Please, can you give me 50 goods to feed my child, my children?" 50 goods is less than one U.S. dollar. So I was like, yeah. I gave her 100 goods, and then we started talking with her. And I said, "Oh, where do you live?" And she points, she says, "Over there." And I see a goat hut and some kind of a wooden stuff being built. And then I see a house. And I'm like, "Oh, there?" She says, "No, the goat shack. There, that's where I live." Just about broke my heart to see her living like this with her two children. So Pastor and I were able to talk with her and share with her. We asked her if she go to the church down about in the mountain or anything, and she said no. So we were able to share the gospel with her, and she accepted Christ. Pastor Joelle and I said, "You know, can you go to church?" And she said, "I have no clothes to go to church. In Haiti, if you are not properly dressed, you will not go to church. They just don't." We try and convince them it doesn't matter, but they just don't. So Pastor Joelle and I went, and we found clothing for them, shoes and clothing for all three of them to be able to go to church, and we picked up some food for them, and then we also got a Bible and brought that up to her. And we visited with her and shared the Bible with her. She can read, so she was able to get that, and she says, "I will go to church. I promise, I will go to church." Sure enough, that Sunday she was in church, so God bless her. And she's been going regularly. Pastor Joelle and I could not get her off our hearts. I was able to get a sponsorship for her, but Pastor Joelle did something amazing. The next slide shows you he gathered 8 young men from his church, and they went and built her a slab, a cement slab, up by her house. Pastor Joelle went to a ministry called Canaan and said, "I know you have some tents that you had gotten from the Rotary. They're called shelter box tents. They got them from the earthquake, and they had extras. Can you please give me one for this poor woman?" And they did. So this team of guys hauled dirt. That's a bucket of sand on that guy's shoulder, a 5-gallon bucket of sand. And see the pink lady in pink in front of him? She's hauling a bucket of sand. That's Marie Nicole's mother. They're hauling these buckets of sand up the mountain on their heads and on their backs. Cement bags on their backs. All the wood to frame it all out on their backs. They hauled all of that up there. You can't get a wheelbarrow up there. So they did all of this. They hauled sand, cement, gravel, everything you need. The tent, the tent we didn't get at that time. All of it on their backs. Not only did they do that, the next slide shows you Marie Nicole's family did it. This is Marie Nicole carrying a wash tub full of sand on her head. This is her little 6-year-old Wadencia carrying a smaller bucket, but a bucket of sand on her head. In the upper picture, Marie Nicole is putting gravel into little bags that Wadencia's friends are carrying on their heads. Everybody got in on this. to help put the slab for Marie Nicole's home. The next photo shows you, yay, we got it all up there. Water, gravel, cement, everything is up there. They got it all there. They got it all framed out, ready to go. They started at 6:30 in the morning. We took a break at 6 o'clock in the evening to have some dinner. The church ladies prepared a meal for everybody that worked and fed everybody. Then they went back up the mountain, and they poured the slab and got it all finished by 8:30 at night. They were done. They were amazing. We didn't have the tent right away. So the next slide will show you, we waited a few days. Number one, the slab had to dry. It rained, had to dry. But also, we couldn't get the tent because Canaan was having a celebration and they were using the tent. So we had to wait for the last minute to get that tent. We got the tent, but it was late evening by the time we got it. We hauled it up the mountain. I had three others with me by then. Another team had come in, so they came with me to help me pitch the tent. And the bag is full of bedding. We had some rubber, some foam mattress pads and stuff for her. On the upper corner, you can see we're pitching the tent in the dark. We couldn't figure this thing out. It's 15 foot by 15 foot. Huge tent. Had these four, like, four different ways to go with this. It took eight of us taking one pole on each side and going one, two, three, up it goes. But it was a blast. It was hot, but we got it up. And there she is. There's her tent. I'm sorry I don't have a daytime picture. It was late. It was about 8 o'clock at night by the time we got the tent up. But we did it. I couldn't stand Nicole not being, and it's getting rained on one more night. I just couldn't take it. But then I found out she got wet anyway. The rains are so torrential there that it's just like taking a bucket and dumping it. So it was still coming through the tent. So Pastor Joelle took a tarp up there and covered the tent some more so that she will not get rained on. Our hope and goal is to build a little wood roof structure over it temporarily until we can build her a house. Hopefully in September or November we're going to build her a home. All right, now I want to talk to you about the food program. Our food program is nutritional rice meals. This is a manna pack. When I say nutrition rice meals, this is what I'm talking about. When I say manna pack, this is what I'm talking about. When I say food boxes, this is what's in it. I'm going to pass this around. I want you to take a good look at it. It has the rice and all the other things in it. I want you to take a look at what's in it. Again, pass it on so people can see. This is from Feed My Starving Children. They're out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Pass on to the next slide. What is in it is 1 cup of rice, 1 cup of dehydrated soy protein, a tablespoon of vitamins and minerals, 1 tablespoon of seasonings, and 1 tablespoon of dehydrated vegetables. And what they do with these is they're supposed to serve 6 servings, 1 cup servings. That doesn't work in Haiti. In Haiti, the people are always hungry because they don't know if they're going to get their next meal. The children will eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until they see the last grain of rice and put it in their mouths. If you put a heaping of food on their plate, they'll eat it all. You add one more, they'll eat it all. Add one more, they'll eat it all till stuff themselves, till their bellies are bulging. Because they didn't have breakfast. They doubt that they're going to get dinner, and they have no clue if they're going to have a meal tomorrow. They're hungry, and they know that if they eat as much as they can get in, if they can't eat tomorrow, they're going to be okay. That's their thinking. So we cut that 6 servings to half in half and say 3 servings. That's about what it works out to. The next slide shows you the boxes. Now, what happens with the manna packs is Feed My Starving Children will give us these free. They pack them. My sister Joan actually packs these in Wisconsin because they're out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. They pack them up. They ship them to Florida. Okay? They put them on the Monarch Queen container ship. It comes to Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince, we have Help for Haiti, another ministry that picks up the containers. That's what they do, is they pick up containers and they deliver containers. They pick it up and they store it in a container for us up here. I order 50 boxes a month, and she stores them for me. Then I send these two gentlemen, Pastor Joel and Titi, and they come down once a month to pick up the 50 boxes. They cover it with a tarp and rope it down good, because if they don't, it'll get stolen out of the truck. But then they drive it up and deliver it to the orphanages. And so once a month we do this. Now, we have 12 boxes that go to Piat Orphanage, 12 boxes that go to Pierre Payen Orphanage, 14 boxes go to Fon Gros Martin School, which I will tell you about in a minute, 6 boxes will go to our families. We have 12 sponsored families, but we have 15 families that we assist with food. Okay? All in all, we use about 44 boxes. Now, you could see in the previous picture, one box had 36 bags of those mana packs. Okay? That is 108 meals per box. 4,752 meals a month is what is going out. The mana packs, as I said, are free. But the Monarch Queen shipping it is not free. The customs is not free. The gas it takes to drive to Port-au-Prince and back up, which is a round trip about $50, just to get the boxes, is not free. And then to deliver it. So I calculated it out. It's about $12. I pay $12 shipping for each box. And then that amounts to about 10 cents a meal. Worth it. Anybody else can eat for 10 cents a meal? You let me know. I want your recipes. Okay. So, Fon Gros Martin Food Program. As I told you, when I go up to the Prayer Mountain, I'm going through a deeply impoverished area, very poor. This is Wadencia. Wadencia is Marie Nicole's. It's in front of Mama's house there. Wadencia was sitting huddled around. Mama had these little rocks and a fire she had built. It was down. It was out. But she had a can of beans, about like this big, on it. Wadencia had a spoon, and she was sitting eating that. Now, you can see the boy on the edge there of the picture. He had come alongside to see what she was eating, and she huddled like this to eat her beans. That just broke my heart to see her eating like this. They are getting food from us, but not everybody is. This is the area. The next photo shows you an area of the impoverished people there. The little kids are in the bottom one. They all, everything up that mountain, all the water on their heads, all their food, everything is hauled up that mountain. To the side here, this woman's house burned down, and that's what they live in, with 4 people living in that thing. There's a lot of houses that are similar to that. Tin, tarped shacks. I want you to take a good look at this next picture. Take a look at this, and can you see something in common with each picture? Can you see it? Orange hair. Look at their hair. It's orange and it's brittle. That is a sign of malnutrition. Almost all the children in that area have the orange brittle hair. The woman that runs the prayer church, Madame Willius, her husband and her run a church and an orphanage and a church and a school at the bottom in Fon Gros Martin. She said, "I would really like to feed these children." I said, "Well, I've got food boxes. Let's try it." So we now, if you look at the next slide, do a school lunch program. In this picture, it just kills me. It's like, somebody push that bowl closer to that child, please. She can't reach it. But there are 65 children being fed 5 times a week. That's 5 meals they are getting a week. They may not get breakfast. They may not get dinner. But I guarantee you they are getting 1 meal Monday through Friday. And that's better than they had. So that's exciting to me. And these children, it was funny. Madame said, "Oh, I have about 55 children that come to school." And I said, "Okay." So I came a couple of days later. I said, "So how many kids did you feed today?" 65. "I thought you had only 55 coming to school." oh, well, I had some registered, but they haven't been coming to school, but they come now. Of course they do. They're hungry. So that was a blessing. I said, hey, if it gets them to school and it gets some food, I'm happy. We wanted to try a neighborhood program. We tried. We had, I gave her a couple extra boxes, 108 box food meals in one box. I gave her two boxes, 216 meals. She says, I want to try and feed the neighborhood on Saturday. Okay, great. I'll should have no more than 200 people. Well, she had 150 people, but unfortunately, due to some unfortunate circumstances, she did not cook. She did not have enough to feed everybody. Part of it was portion control. She would put out one plate, and it'd be heaped this high with rice, and the next plate this much. It was in uneven portion control. And so I said, we got to correct this, because it killed me to see half these people have to walk away because we didn't have enough food for them. So I bought plates. These are all standard-sized plates, and I bought her a two-cup measuring cup, and I said, this is what you're going to use. Scoop, plop, scoop, plop. That's all they get. She objected at first, but they're going to be hungry for more. And I said, no, think of it this way. If you do two scoops on one plate, by the time you get to the third or fourth plate, you don't have any left to scoop. But if you scoop one scoop, you can go, instead of four plates, you can go eight plates. And she's like, ah, that way, this kid gets enough to eat, and that kid gets some food too. So that's what we've been doing, and it works. It works. So we're going to try the food lunch program, the neighborhood program again. That's actually this coming Saturday. They're going to try it again and see if we can keep the portion control going for them. Now I want to talk to you about the tools of the trade. Tools of the trade is what we've done is we take the parents of our sponsored families or older orphan children, and we try to teach them a skill if they don't already have one. And then we give them the tools that they need to be able to do the skill. This is Madame Julio. She is one of our success stories. We got her a sewing machine a few years back. She knew how to sew. She just didn't have a machine. She's got a machine. Those bags on her machine are actually the bags of alteration clothes that she is going to be paid for when she does her repairs. So she's earning a living, and she also earns it from making uniforms for the school. Now I want to show you another family. This is Baby Shanika's family. This cousin is the one that is now taking care of Shanika. The other cousin has dropped off. She's no longer helping Shanika. I said to her, I said, what does your husband do for a living? She says, well, he's not working. Unemployment rate is sky high there. He has no job right now. But we used to do bakery. I said, wait, you did? She says, we have an oven. So I came to see. Sure enough. This is an oven that they bake bread in. In Haiti, it's a clay oven. They get the fire hot, and they break it down to coals. And this kneading thing here, they roll the dough to knead it, make the form the bread, and they put it in that oven. She has all the supplies she needs for that. And I said, what do you need? Why are you not doing it? She says, I just need a wheelbarrow and a basket to take the stuff to market. So in the next picture, you will see a basket down in the bottom corner. Can't see much of it. I didn't have a good picture of one, but they're about this big and about this deep, and it goes dips down like this. And they sit that on a wheelbarrow. They line it with plastic, put the bread in, and cover it with plastic. And then they take that to market, and they sell their bread. She says, that's all I need. That's all she asked me for. I said, well, what happened to the roof? There's a tin roof over the oven, but there's no roof over where they would work, where they would be rolling the dough. Rain's going to get in. The sun's going to be down on them. I said, well, maybe we should cover that area. So I guesstimated by what I have purchased wood before and some tin before, about $110 to do that. The wheelbarrow is about $65. I had to guess at the basket. The basket's probably cheaper than what I guessed, but I have no idea. And then I want to buy her some food supplies. I want to buy her some flour, yeast, oil, egg, sugar, salt, all the things she needs to make the bread so that I can get her a kick start. Now, am I just going to give her this money? No. What I'm going to do is, number one, purchase everything for her, as much of it as I can, put the roof on for her, and then say, okay, this is how much it costs me, and this is how much a loan is going to be. And so then we'll take that $300. This is your loan. Every month, I don't want you to pay me back in money. I want you to bake a batch of bread, and I want you to take that bread and give it to Pastor Joel. Pastor Joel will take that bread, split it, and give it to the two orphanages. The orphanages get bread, which they don't get now. She gets part of her loan paid off. I'll deduct $50 a month. 6 months down the way, she's paid for her supplies, she's got her business, and she's up and running. Then when her loan is paid off, these children have had 6 months worth of bread, I'll buy the bread from her to take up to the orphanages. And that way the children get fresh bread once a month, and she has a livelihood that she can feel, have dignity and feel good about that. Her and her husband are earning their own way. So that's my dream and hope. It's $300 is my guess, is all we need for that. And I hope and pray that that comes together for her. All right, now I want to share with you my visiting nurse. This happened by accident. This is brand new. Madame Joelle is Pastor Joelle's wife. She's a nurse. She's working at a clinic 3 days a week for 3 hours a day. And the clinic had to let her go. They could no longer keep her and a couple other nurses. So they let them go because they couldn't afford them anymore. And she had no work. I said, Sister Joelle, would you please go with Pastor Joelle and check on this family for me? The little boy has this infection. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to help them. Would you look at it? Sure. Okay. Sister Joelle, would you go to the orphanage for me, please, and go see this young man? He's having problems with his stomach. Would you just check on him for me, please? Sure. I'm thinking, why don't I just hire her? So I did. I hired her. Now, I didn't have a lot of money to pay for a staff, for a nurse yet, but I knew I had at least $50. So, $50 a month is what she gets. It's a better pay than she was getting. She was getting about $40 US a month for the work she was doing. All I'm asking is once a week, go and check on the kids, see how they're doing. So, that's what we're trying. I would love to pay her more. She deserves more. Nurses earn, work hard. She should earn more. I'm praying that God will let me at least bump it up to $75 to $100 a month for her. And that's a decent wage for the work she's doing. So that's my goal. But this is just one way that we can help others in the ministry. Okay, now here are some other ways that you can be a part of it. You can help with the oven, with the baking of the bread. You can help with the nurse. Oh, and the nurse also asked, can I have some medical supplies, please? And I said, let's see what we can do. Medicine in Haiti is very cheap. I take $100 to Haiti and buy medicine. I'm going to get a great big box of medicine. And she will have amoxicillin. She will have all kinds of medicines in that. So I'm praying that God will provide that for her. But child sponsorship is how my orphanages, the orphanages receive funds through child sponsorship. This is how I raise the funds to be able to take care of the child care, to be able to get enough food to eat, to be able to get them some medical care. This is how I'm doing that, is with the sponsorships. $25 a month sponsors a child, or $300 for the whole year. You can just do it in one lump sum, and these children will get some help. I also have education sponsorships. In Haiti, you have to pay to go to school. You either pay, you have to pay tuition, you have to buy your own books, and you have to wear a uniform. It's required. So you have to have a uniform. Again, $25 a month or $300 for a year, and these children can go to school. I am right now in the process of paying the registrations for the coming year for all the orphanages and for all the sponsored families. That's maybe $15 to $25 each child to register them, to save their place for the coming year. They will start a school year again in October. They don't finish this one until June. So that's a way that you can help too. You can get these children educated. If we can keep them healthy, keep them fed, and if we can give them an education, they have a chance in Haiti. So that's one of my goals, is to keep those kids in school. And you can help me do that. Okay. Do you guys have tablespoons anywhere? This is my wish list. Do you got a few tablespoons in a drawer somewhere that you don't need? These came out of my drawer. I'm taking them to Haiti. I'm asking for 100 spoons to go with those plates to feed those lunch programs. The reason I'm taking tablespoons is because teaspoons are too small and the children will not touch a fork. They need these big spoons because they go shove it in. But also, I'm asking for 100 of them because, you know, some get lost, some get sticked in pockets or backpacks and they go home with them. So I want to have at least 100 of these for the lunch program. I also want 100 plastic cups. I'm going to purchase some cups over town and hopefully get enough funds to do that so that the children can drink with a cup. What I saw, and I didn't put a picture up there, was a bucket of water, take the lid off. They were taking margarine tubs, lids from the margarine tubs, scooping the water and drinking the water. That's how they were drinking the water. I said, we've got to get them some cups. All it takes is a few cups. So that's my hope and dream, is to bring those with me to Haiti. And also, I'm guessing about $100 to buy medicines in Haiti for the nurse. Those are my main goals. Now, the one medicines we can't seem to get are the infant Tylenol or the children's Tylenol or children's cough syrup. Those things seem to be lacking there. So those are some things I would love to take with me also. Yes? Hard plastic, that they'll last a long time. I don't want to just take the ones that we can, the cheapy ones, no. I wanted to get stainless steel, but I found out they're so expensive. So, heavy. So I'll settle for plastic. Okay, now, the next slide shows you what I'm up to next. I'm going back to Haiti. I'll be leaving June 2nd, and I'll be there for the whole month. I return on the 30th of June. The first week will be spent meeting the orphanages, checking on everybody, checking all the families, making sure everybody's okay. I'm not going to be doing a lot of ministry time with them. I just got 1 week with them. After that, I'm going to a Haitian Creole boot camp. I'm going to be immersed to learn Haitian Creole. I need to learn Haitian Creole. I will be going for 3 weeks, and I will be going from 9 to 5. No English is spoken at all. I will be learning Creole, and then they will take us out to minister. We'll be going to prison, hospital, visiting door to door, doing a vacation Bible school, all in those 3 weeks. So what I learn, I immediately put into practice. And so that's my prayer, is please pray for memory retention, because I have a bad memory. I also want to share with you why I want to do this so badly. I have translators, and they're excellent translators. Would you come up for a minute, Miguel, just for a second? I just want you to experience this for me. I'm going to have Miguel translate in Spanish for me. Just for a little bit. Okay, Miguel, just say everything I say. Okay?
Okay.
All right, now. Now, when I'm speaking, I have to pause when I want to speak. So that the translator can speak for me when I'm talking. That's not a problem in this setting. But let's say that I get going, and I start talking really fast, and I really can't want to stop, and I really need to say everything I want to say, and I can't get it out, and I got to tail it all, and then the poor translator has a problem trying to follow me. Get it? Also, when I'm standing there and I've got a kid clinging to my legs, those little brown eyes look up at me, and they say, what did you say? I have to stop and say, what did she say? That's one of the other reasons I want to be able to learn this. One other reason. One-on-one. Heart-to-heart. It's hard. If I want to get to know Lupita. Fortunately, she understands English pretty good. But what if she doesn't? I want to speak to her heart to heart. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want you to know how much He loves you. He cares about you. But it has to go through a translator. So I need to learn Creole. And that's my heart and desire. Thank you.
Gracias.
So please do pray for me. I really need to learn it. And you know, the older you get, the harder it is to remember. And so I need the prayer for retention. I need to retain this so that I can continue and speak to the Haitian people. Real quickly, I do also have some little things out there. I will be in the entryway. Come and ask me questions. Come talk to me. I have sponsor pictures out there to sponsor a child if you want to. I have brochures out there you can take home with you and pray about wanting to help. And I also put out some little conchs, painted conch shells and some paintings out there. A young man who's 17 is almost on his own now. He's living with Mama and his two little brother and sister. They're one of our sponsored families, but I'm trying to help him get on his own, and he paints, and he does some really nice artistic work. So I'm just selling his little things out there, $5 for a conch shell, $5 for the paper paintings, $10 for the canvas ones, if you want to help out. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
I wanted to touch base on one other thing, and because I, if you don't know this, your brain, $100 a month for a nurse, and that's good pay. In Haiti, $100 a month is good pay, okay? If you make $200, you're the level that their economy's at. When we first went in, we couldn't understand, you know, a translator, we pay them what?
No. My translator as well, I pay $30 a day.
Yeah, $30 a day was just like, really, you're playing translator $30 a day? And I was like, it's only $30 a day? It's like...
doing what Miguel did all day long.
Really happy. Someone asked me one time, well, why don't you put all this time and money and energy and into the United States, into our inner cities and that? And I have. Mm-hmm. I've been there. But I'll tell you, the return for a dollar is a lot higher when you go into a third world country. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that's my 4 cents worth.
And the minimum wage in Haiti is $5.26 a day. That's the minimum wage that is supposed to be required by the government. The government never follows. The average wage is $2 a day.
Mm-hmm. So. Let me just close this in prayer. And please feel free to offer in your hearts prayers for the Lord, for the ministry, for the children, for those faces you saw on the screen. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to serve, you call us to love, and you call us to give. Father, you have a design for each one of us, a part in this. Lord, whether you take some of us and take us to Haiti, or you take and ask us to give a resource, or you ask us to give a prayer, Father, please involve us. Please make us part of caring for those that are hurting, specifically for the children of Haiti and for the blessing that we receive as we bless others. Thank you, Father. You are good. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.